You are listening to the Doug Hagmann Radio Show, weekdays 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And now the man behind the mic, a private investigator with over 30 years under his belt, Doug Hagmann.
Good morning, everyone. It's 6 a.m. on the West Coast of America, 9 a.m. here in the East. Welcome to Hagmann. It's the Doug Hagmann Investigative Hour for today. It is Wednesday, January 31st, last day of January 2018. Thanks for joining me this morning. I'm going to be taking an in-depth look at a number of issues. First of all, State of the Union address, fantastic. I thought it was great. We covered it live right up until the feed cut off, and it was just fantastic on, of course, our flagship show, available on BTR, which I believe cut off after 3 hours. But however, the YouTube video went right up until, well, moments before the end. So, at any rate, interesting nonetheless. Now, this week, as I mentioned on Monday, this will be the week that will really be drawing blood. And, it's something to watch as we face a day of reckoning, I suppose, as we see the events coalesce together, that will expose the deep state. You know, dangerous times in which we live, they, of course, demand serious answers for our country. Our country, our nation, is under assault by domestic enemies, evil men, evil women, aspiring dictators, and apparatchiks of Barack Obama and Clinton, that's right, and others associated with them without any respect for our Constitution or America's founding principles. They have actively sought to overthrow the will of the American people and, of course, a duly elected U.S. president. Their intents and purposes could not have been executed without Obama's imprimatur, without his approval, and specific orders as they cast the die and betrayed Americans, and down to the last conspirator, they must be ruthlessly exposed. Of course, in doing so, you release the memo, the FISA memo. That's only a start. If we are to save the Republican, our constitutional republic, and we will. And one more time, let me just remind everyone, We are approaching this day of reckoning. People talk about the coming storm. We are in the storm. I truly believe that. We are living in, of course, some of the most interesting and dangerous times. Hopefully we won't pass these times back on to our children and grandchildren, especially the times that we see that involve the nefarious activities of the corrupt and criminally minded high-ranking government officials and intelligence and FBI agents, especially under the Obama regime, who specifically weaponized the FBI and Department of Justice, the entire system of the FISA 702 surveillance and data collection. Look, when you look at it, take a few steps back. It was weaponized against President Donald Trump. Donald Trump as an American citizen first, and then as a candidate, and then as the president-elect, and finally as the president, those people around him, while the deep state, permanent members of the deep state around him, continued their corruption and their attempts to overthrow the government. Some very good, in my view anyway, some extremely good people who have brought this to light, not the least of whom is Sean Hannity. And I can't mention Sean Hannity without mentioning Peter Barry-Chaka, our own Peter Barry-Chaka, who, of course, has done so much to expose the war against Sean Hannity. You know, not only is there a war against the patriots within our government, there's a war within the community of people. There's a war against the community of patriots who are attempting to expose, including the members of the new media, the honest media, this media. There's a hot war against us. Now, I'm not complaining. I'm really not. I knew, you know, I really didn't know what I was signing on to. I just found myself here one day, honestly. I was working as an investigator suddenly, and I mean this, suddenly, I don't exactly know. I feel like kind of a pinball in a pinball machine. Suddenly I find myself here behind a microphone, really having no business, many will tell me, having no business talking on the radio. Go back to investigating. Well, it's what I do. Now you're my client. Each one of you are my clients. But Sean Hannity and Sarah Carter and Sebastian Gorka, Tom Fitton, Chris Hayes, Chris Farrell, so many people who are responsible for the uncovering of this war, all-out war against Donald Trump, obviously, and against the American people. And as I mentioned, Sarah Carter, the investigative journalist and Fox News contributor, talking about this four-page classified House Intelligence Committee memo, which will come out this week. It could come out today, it could come out tomorrow, Friday, who knows? It's in the hands of Donald Trump. And of course, that open mic moment when he was leaving the State of the Union, saying that the memo, of course, 100% will come out. So buckle up for that. But just understand that the four-page classified House Intelligence Committee memo, spearheaded, of course, by House Intelligence Committee Chairman Devin Nunes, it was made available to all House members on Thursday, January 18th. Just understand the history. And this is a compilation of a number of investigative documents and interviews, tens of thousands of documents, interviews, and, of course, the 99-page report, the FISA report, dated April 26th of 2017. This report was made available to all House members on January 18th and outlined, of course, extensive abuse of the FISA, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, that could lead to several senior officials in the FBI, in the DOJ, of not just being fired, but of being put in handcuffs. And I've gotten just a ton of emails, many emails, saying, do you really believe that anyone is going to be handcuffed? Will anyone be charged criminally for their participation in what I believe is the biggest crime in American history of modern times, since the revolution? My answer is absolutely yes. There will be, the American people will demand it. The vocal majority will demand it. And I do believe they will get it. And I'm speaking about people such as an example, okay, McCabe. Is it possible that we'll see him charged with criminal offenses? Yes, I believe that to be the case. How about Rosenstein and others? Yes, I believe that to be the case. Meanwhile, and I want to just let you know, I have not forgotten about this. The Awan criminal cabal, the Pakistani ISI infiltration into our Congress. Many people have kind of forgotten about this, and or it's, you know, my goodness, you've got to keep a grocery list, a laundry list, a list of names and people and scandals and everything going on. But this plays a role in what we're seeing today to some extent, and is part of that subversion of our government. So understand this, the Pakistani infiltration of our IT systems, of the government IT systems, specifically the Democratic congressional systems, is critical in the entire scheme of things. But what I'm going to be getting into in this episode will lay out the infrastructure of the plot planners, schemers, the people whose fingerprints are on the a weapon for attempted murder of our republic. It may surprise some of you, It may, and it may not. But this, to me, is an important broadcast. And this is a broadcast, I believe, and I was speaking with my wife, and we were talking, and she said, you know, make it so that listeners can give this to, refer others to this broadcast. So they're not hit over the head with a lot of facts, a lot of things that they've got to really, you know, run down. It's kind of simplify it. For me, simplify it, she said. And I have to agree. Now, that's not to say that this is going to be overly simplistic. It's not. It's going to be precise. But it's going to give everyone a good idea as we await the release of this memo. And just so everyone understands, this four-page memo authored by Devin Nunes, you're going to see a couple of things happen as soon as it's released. The media will momentarily acknowledge it and then assail it. Now, it doesn't take an investigator to really understand that process, but that's going to happen. And describe it as a partisan attempt to take away the attention, to take attention away from Donald Trump, his criminal collusion with Russia, and to undermine the special counsel. As a matter of fact, in talking with my own source from the FBI, the memo itself will be depicted as, by itself, obstruction of justice by Donald Trump and by the Republicans. Now let that sink in for a moment. The memo itself will be depicted as Exhibit A in obstruction of justice against the special counsel. This is what I'm being told. The second part of this, and perhaps the most important part of this, is the four-page memo, as I've said before, is only the beginning. This is just merely the start of the disclosure process, because from this four-page summarized document, kind of like a trunk of a tree, this is the trunk. Soon, well, maybe flip it over. I was going to say the branches will come out. The roots will be exposed, to be more accurate in terms of my analogy. This is the trunk, and the roots will be dug up and exposed. And, of course, I'm referring to the backdrop, the background of this memo, which is why it's so important. But other areas here as well. Keep your eye on the office of the Inspector General, Michael Horowitz. I referenced a couple of videos that Tracy Beans had done. A citizen investigator, citizen journalist, right on the money. And as a matter of fact, a conversation I had with my FBI source said, look, people would be well served to understand what she is saying in the YouTube videos about Guccifer 2.0, because this will come up in the future, as well as the Michael Horowitz backdrop, understanding what Horowitz is doing. And Horowitz, of course, is the Inspector General for the Department of Justice and the FBI. So that's that. Now, continuing forward here, because again, a lot of things to get into. The actual memorandum itself, prepared by the Intelligence Committee, it's going to shock the conscience of the country when it comes to the horrific abuses that took place during the last administration or the last regime. And will continue, that, by the way, it continues to pose a horrific threat to President Donald Trump, his presidency. And even Matt Gaetz, the Republican congressman from Florida, he said as much on Fox News, as well as Representative Stephen King from Iowa, said that he was sickened by the contents, by what he read in this memo. He said the information it contained showed behavior by the Obama regime was far, far, far worse than Watergate. Now, I referenced that 99-page ruling from the FISA court, declassified it was April 26th of 2017, America was made aware at that time, and this did not get a lot of press. I mean, I had it, I read it, I looked at it, and to my fault, I really didn't push forward on this this memo, as well as I should. It was heavily redacted, and I knew it existed, and then it came up, of course, last week. But that aside, that 99-page declassified document made us aware of unauthorized and improper FISA 702, the about queries that were made by people such as, now listen, Susan Rice, who was within the Obama regime. And all this information was revealed by the NSA, but specifically by the National Security Agency Director, Admiral Michael Rogers. That was released, that information was released on October 26, 2016, after he began his own investigation back in March of 2016. And then he subsequently initiated a full NSA compliance audit. So when you look at the good people here, Admiral Michael Rogers, Mike Rogers, is one of the good guys in this fight against the deep state. All right. Now, America, as Americans, we know that Hillary Clinton and her campaign, facilitated by her attorney, Mark Elias, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, others, hired and paid Glenn Simpson and Fusion GPS for negative information on Donald Trump. Now, ordinarily, it's kind of common practice, and I have been a part of this. Listeners of this program may recall me referencing when I was an investigator being a part of an opposition research project. Let me tell you something. This is back in the late 1980s. I didn't know what opposition research was, and I was being used as a younger guy, green behind the ear, you know, still wet behind the ears. I was being used as a tool, and my investigative work product actually made it to the floor of my state's Congress, and consequently, from my report, a nominee for a specific a nominee by the current governor at that time for a specific position within the state he resigned because of the information contained in that report. And I could do an entire show on what happened there. I won't, because even now I just won't. But the bottom line is what this is something so incredibly severe. This is out to me when you look at the product and the people who are behind this. This is the Trojan horse from within being released, and the soldiers within the Trojan horse just laying waste to everything around them, including all aspects of our constitutional republic. Now, when we look at this, the agreement between Fusion GPS, Glenn Simpson, and Wasserman Schultz, and Perkins Coie, and all these people, their agreement led to Christopher Steele, the former British spy, receiving the subcontract and the compilation of the largely false, well, it's pretty much all false, and unverified 35-page Steele dossier. Now, until Admiral Mike Rogers blew the whistle, the FBI had been given Fusion GPS and CrowdStrike access to the FISA database, and I've said this before in previous programs. Now, this is being pointed out by Justin Smith, who has been writing for Family Security Matters. Admiral Mike Rogers blew the whistle on this whole process, that the FBI had been giving Fusion GPS and CrowdStrike access to the FISA database. Think about this. The two main subcontractors that I'm sure will be named in this FISA memo, Fusion GPS and CrowdStrike. Pay very close attention to what these entities are, who is involved with these entities. But they had access to raw intelligence. Incredible. Now, that access was halted on April 18th of 2016, and it was done by Admiral Mike Rogers when Rogers learned of exactly what was going on. Now, it's interesting because it was April 18th of 2016 when Admiral Mike Rogers says, whoa, we got to stop this access. Fusion GPS has got raw access to raw intelligence. This has got to stop. It's interesting because Mary Jacoby, who is married to Glenn Simpson, Fusion GPS, who, by the way, had a great Facebook presence until she scrubbed it, but before she did, others were able to capture the braggadocious claims by Mary Jacoby. Mary Jacoby, we find through looking at White House records, went to the White House for a meeting with Obama. Now, Bruce Orr, and you know him, he was the guy that was recently removed from his position as deputy general at the Justice Department. He met with Christopher Steele during the 2016 campaign shortly after the election. Now, consider this. After the election, Steele met with Glenn Simpson, the founder of GPS, and Bruce Orr's wife, Nellie, continued and amplified her work with Glenn Simpson at the time. Now, Nellie Orr is a Stanford University doctor, PhD, and an expert of sorts on Russia. She speaks Russian and is well-versed in CIA operations. One might even call her a CIA asset. Think about this. Bruce Orr, Department of Justice, his wife, Nellie Orr, PhD, Stanford, joins Fusion GPS. And her skills include this building the counterintelligence frameworks to give the appearance of events that never occurred. Fake news. Now, numerous Wall Street Journal and Fox News reports, specifically Fox News, Wall Street Journal in some cases, Fox News, in their assertions that the FBI illegally used fake information in the Steele dossier to obtain FISA warrants against President Donald Trump and members of his campaign staff, his cabinet, including Michael Flynn and Carter Page. The FBI claimed that Page, who was a Trump advisor, was a Russian agent. But you know what? No source anywhere. The only source making that claim that Carter Page was a Russian agent was one person, Christopher Steele. And that caused, by the way, Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Charles Grassley to request a criminal investigation of Steele. All right? That happened on January 25th for making false statements. And of course, Chairman Grassley also called for the release of the memo. And I'm talking about January 25th of 2018. Now, when you watch Sean Hannity, if you do, he's the only one in the media who has said, and I have got this guaranteed by my source as well. Here's what he said on January 12th of this year, Sean Hannity. He said this: I spoke to three people, two congressional members, one person in the Department of Justice. They all confirmed at different levels that 100% of the dossier was used to obtain the FISA warrant. Now, again, I'm quoting Justin Smith, who's writing for Family Security Matters. But I had the same information from my source as well, that the FISA warrant was obtained through false pretenses. And what's worse, the FBI knew this when they signed off on the FISA warrant application. Why is this important? Because it could happen to any one of us living in the United States. As an investigator working with, when I was working with the as an asset for the police departments, including the FBI and the Department of Justice myself. I would watch as the agent or the officer would take a blank warrant and type in the information necessary, very specific information based on legitimate evidence. This would be akin to just typing up information on my say-so or someone else's say-so without any kind of vetting of the source. That's exactly what happened. But it was weaponized. Now, consider this. Consider the importance, considering that Peter Strzok, who we all know as Batman, who was in regular contact with the CIA and handled counterintelligence operations, that's Peter Strzok, was a source for the Steele dossier, as was, do you want to take a guess who else? CIA Director John Brennan. See, John Brennan plays a role in this, and don't forget who John Brennan is. The Muslim, perhaps. Well, I'm not going to say perhaps. He certainly would, in my view, qualify as a Muslim, given his history, Saudi Arabia, the connections there, and, of course, working very closely with Barack Hussein Obama. But CIA Director John Brennan was, in fact, a source for this 35-page dossier. And there were others, too. Andrew McCabe, just booted, just took a terminal leave. Susan Rice, James Clapper. These are the people who are going to, I believe, will be identified and to some extent meet with some justice coming up. Now, yet, understand this. It was Susan Rice who illegally unmasked General Michael Flynn. And what did that do when General Michael Flynn was unmasked? Because it was Susan Rice who did that. And that, of course, set into motion events leading to his resignation as President Trump's Director of National Intelligence. Now, in a moment here, I'm going to get to something extremely important, as pointed out by Ed Klein. But her information came through the illegally obtained FISA warrant. There was a Representative Paul Gosar who said something very profound. He said, if you don't think that the unmasking has something to do with the weaponization of our Department of Justice and our intelligence services, think again. You have obviously you have the surveillance being done. You have the access to the information. Then you have the revelation or revealing or unmasking in the dissemination. In addition, U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions' Justice Department, that investigation pertaining to the FISA abuse, uncovered the text, of course, between Batman, between Page and Strzok, or between Peter Strzok, who's Batman, and Lisa Page, Lois Lane, apparently. Lisa Page, of course, being Strzok's mistress and an FBI attorney, in which they spoke of an insurance policy. Now, again, we talked about this before in this plot to undermine President Trump's administration, which, by the way, it is still going on. Now, I'm not talking between Strzok and Page, but the attempted takedown of President Trump is still taking place. Let's never forget about this. This is not over by any stretch of the imagination. So, you have all this taking place. Now, you have to understand that both Strzok and Page actually served on Mueller's investigation into, well, they served on the special counsel. Think about that. But Strzok also led the FBI probe into Hillary Clinton's private email server. This guy's everywhere. And he was involved in opening the 2016 investigation into the election meddling. And the day after the election, there's a text between Strzok and Page saying, perhaps this is the first meeting of the secret society. And boy, that one statement is getting so much, people are just saying, oh, that's just crazy, that's a joke, on and on and on. But I'll tell you what. I had mentioned this before, and I just want to kind of put the exclamation point to this right now. I suppose the exclamation point might be better stated as a clarification, because the war that we find ourselves in today is being fought on three fronts. First of all, the deep state. Second of all, within the Congress. And thirdly, in the streets of America. All right. I don't know how much clearer to make that. When you look at the actors, the perpetrators, the members, the participants of this war. And, you know, it's interesting to see, for example, what we saw at the State of the Union yesterday. You saw members of the Black Caucus just sitting there, not giving Donald Trump any respect and being openly defiant. And you see the Democratic Party, or the progressives, I should say, not Democrats, but progressives, who ultimately chose as their leader Perez, but for a while they considered Keith Ellison, who has ties to the really anti-white, anti-Semitic Nation of Islam. All right, and ultimately, however, the head of the Democratic Party or Progressive Party ultimately became Tom Perez. That said, and I know that it sometimes when you talk about party labels, Democrat and Republican, it's very archaic. But consider, in place of Republicans and Democrats, obviously, progressives, the deep estate denizens on one side, and of course the constitutionalists or conservatives on the other side. But just to put that exclamation point, it's the deep state, the Congress, and the streets where the battlegrounds exist. Now, it's interesting because there was, and I just found this information, and I found it very interesting, that Jeff Sessions had recently, within the last several months, found that many people within the Department of Justice, the Obama holdovers, the progressives, of course, were doing things, obviously, to slow walk certain information and investigative results, and continue to do so, by the way, to agencies like Judicial Watch, Tom Fitton, and such. Now, consider this, all right? Let's go back to the three areas where this war is being fought. The deep state really fighting incredibly, and they've got seemingly all of the power. The useful tools, of course, are the people in the streets, and then, of course, the compromised represent the members of the Congress. But consider this. The disruption that is being caused, even today, by members of the deep state are pretty conspicuous. You can see it in various departments within our government, from the Department of the Interior, the EPA, and the Department of Justice. And I mentioned Jeff Sessions before. Jeff Sessions had attempted and continues to attempt to root out the Obama people, the progressives in the Department of Justice. The disloyal employees with access to secure government files, they were deleting. Sessions found that these people were deleting computer files and destroying evidence in an effort to impede the Justice Department's investigations of sanctuary cities and fascist groups connected to Obama. So consider that. Sessions found this, and of course, has been attempting to rectify that. Now, regardless of what you think of Sessions, look, I don't think he's acting fast enough or aggressive enough, but that there is a document, a report out, where this has been confirmed that the Obama holdovers, the progressives, within his department specifically, destroying records. Now, and again, getting back to that exclamation point I referenced, the most powerful evidence pertaining to the existence of of the deep state. Now, that came from the FBI itself, and people will, in the media, in the Mockingbird media, they'll just say, oh, this is just BS, it's a conspiracy. Consider that after the FBI conducted some 2,000 interviews, there were FBI field offices, and I mentioned this before, in Los Angeles, San Francisco, Detroit, and New York. They compiled a 1,400-word report that was actually given to Comey. Yeah, for what good that did. But the report talked about, or the report referenced, people and groups influencing the resistance movement. Now, we, as I mentioned before, I've got a copy of this book, or of this memo, this report, and it was published in the book by Ed Klein, All Out War, all right? But the Bureau has gotten actionable intelligence, says this report, that there is, within the federal government, a growing and organized movement to block or interfere with the administration policy decisions. I had said this before, I'd referenced that paragraph before from this FBI report. There have been regular, organized meetings of large numbers of government workers, and I referenced this before, but I'm going to reference it again, at a church in the Columbia Heights area of the District of Columbia where plans have been discussed to actively sabotage government programs that they disagree with. These would include immigration enforcement, crackdowns on welfare fraud, and weakening of environmental rules. Donald Trump mentioned coal yesterday. That being one of them, okay? In addition to that, there is a concern that some dissenting government workers might be dislodged from their positions by Donald Trump, which is happening, but the blowback is incredible because people coming to their aid include members of the Obama for America group. This is why Obama has not left Washington, D.C., all right, now what I'm telling you is so important for people to understand, I believe, that there's evidence that while there is a great deal of agitation within the government, there are non-government individuals associated with unions and immigration and environmental groups who are behind these meetings, legal groups. And I've said this before, they've been teaching some of these government employees, what they can get away with and doing in terms of delaying enforcement, what they can't, so as not to be fired, all right? Bureaucrats delaying, dragging their feet, throwing roadblocks in the way of these whatever initiatives are present by Donald Trump. Now, you may think, well, man, I've heard this before. Well, again, this is the foundation for the deep state blowback against Donald Trump, which is still exists today. Now, within Congress, you've got progressives who are resorting to guerrilla tactics to delay the agenda of Donald Trump, to inflict damage on him and his administration. Consider that the progressives held shadow confirmation hearings that featured witnesses Republicans refused to allow to testify in formal confirmation processes. Now, I'm not going to get into all of this, but consider the fact that within Congress, you've got this coup by members of the progressive movement that include what we saw yesterday at the State of the Union, the black Congress members. Now, I'm not referencing that because of their race. They just happen to be this caucus that is involved in this coup. And think by the way, think about Kristen Gillibrand, New York's foul-mouthed junior Democratic senator, progressive senator, who arrived in Congress back in 2009. Boy, did she ever turn into this rabid individual and foul-mouthed. It's incredible. Gillibrand went after, and as you may recall, James Mattis, the retired Marine Corps four-star general, who Trump had nominated for Secretary of Defense. And what Gillibrand had done, she forced a roll call vote, which gave her the opportunity to be the sole senator opposing his appointment. This was clearly an unambiguous display of ambition that was calculated to advance her prospects, of course, as a presidential candidate in 2020. Watch for that. Because as we see this anti-Trump, this anti-American coup take place, with everyone focused on the FISA memo, yes, we need to focus on that. But also, let us remember that there are parallel coup aspects of the coup taking place. And in Congress is one. Again, as we saw yesterday at the State of the Union. Just look at the crowd yesterday. Look at the members of Congress. Look at the, and you could tell who's on whose side. When Donald Trump mentioned immigration, USA, USA was chanted. Gutierrez walked out. The ultimate show of disrespect, but nonetheless, this is the fracturing that we're seeing today as a result of the coup and the congressional within the Congress and the congressional aspect, the congressional battlefront. But make no mistake, members of Congress are in fact members, certain members of Congress are in fact operatives of the deep state. As if you didn't know, you know. But it's always good to really identify the enemy and enemies. In addition to the obvious, and we're seeing the Congress and the media kind of joining forces on this as well. You've got the impeachment bandwagon. My goodness. Now, you don't really have to read beyond the headlines to understand that there are so many people just absolutely obsessed with the impeachment of Donald Trump. We see it happening today. But this is important, really, to identify the players here. I mean, we know the obvious. But this, for as much as people will say, well, this is not going to happen, it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen, the talk is getting more rampant. In fact, I saw an article this morning as I was preparing for this show, just absolutely pulling all the stops out for demands for impeachment based on the fact that Donald Trump is mentally unfit. I would not discount this. Although some people may roll their eyes and say, well, this is not going to happen, I would not discount this because, remember, we're dealing with a war here on multiple fronts, and part of in each one of these battle fronts here is, well, even in this case, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts, all right? So when you look at the battlefront, understand that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. And this, of course, being one of those parts, the impeachment bandwagon. I'm not going to spend much more time on that, except to say, just keep your eyes out for that as well. And, of course, we've got the streets. You saw the street protests. Who's paying for this? Not the morons who march in the street, but the mid-tier, the management, the people who pass out the placards. If you follow the money, Obama for America being a big part of this, Obama for America and all of the offshoots. And Clinton herself, by the way, Hillary Clinton herself, is getting involved in this to some extent, along with the hashtag resist movement. Now, I don't want to just bore you with a bunch of details here, but I'm laying the foundation, the groundwork for what we're seeing and really what's about to take place. Because once this memo is disclosed, everything I have mentioned to this point, they're going to ramp up. Street protests will be ramped up. The Congress meltdown mode, absolutely meltdown mode. Talk of impeachment via Russian collusion that doesn't exist, or even more absurd, the Section 4 of the 25th Amendment, the mental stability of Donald Trump. The active impediments by Congress and by the members of the permanent state to stop the forward movement of Donald Trump's agenda. You see how all of these various fronts are now working together. So what we have is the drawing of blood through this memo, through this four-page memo from Nunes, from the House Intelligence Committee. And the response to this will be absolutely deafening, amplified by a complicit media. And this is all you're going to be hearing now once the four-page document is released. The amplification by the media. Those who choose not to ignore it but to address it will amplify the biased nature of this and will absolutely say it is nothing but a conspiracy theory itself. That is the memo. Because there is no underlying foundation for the claims that the memo contains, when in fact there is. So getting back to the memo itself, I think perhaps one of the most concise explanations that I've heard, I'll take it back to Sean Hannity talking with Sarah Carter, Sebastian Gorka, Judge Jeanine, this two nights ago, or prior to the State of the Union address when Sean Hannity was broadcasting from Washington, D.C. This is a roughly six-minute audio clip of the discussion about the FISA memo. I think it all comes down to this. I can't be more concise than offering you this assessment, how they bring McCabe into this, Christopher Wray, who after seeing the memo itself, and as well as, let's not discount, the Inspector General's report as well, which that's another area that will draw blood from this highly politicized political assassination attempt of Donald Trump. Listen to this six-minute audio clip and pay specific attention to what Sebastian Gorka says, well, to what everyone says. But this provides an up-to-the-minute assessment that includes Andrew McCabe with respect to his departure. My question is, will his departure go smoothly or will they stop it and put his retirement in jeopardy? I have every reason to believe, based on everything I'm hearing now, that that's very possible. That, in fact, you know what? He could very well be in legal jeopardy. But here to explain this, or offering to explain this, and again, listen to this entire audio segment, because I think it contains so much, the information that is here is so critical for everyone's understanding. This will bring you up to date with respect to the yet-to-be-released four-page summary. Go ahead and roll that clip from Sean Hannity from the day before yesterday.
Justice Judge Jeanine Pirro, Fox News contributor Sarah Carter, former Deputy Assistant to the President, Fox News National Security Strategist Sebastian Gorka. Got to start with you. You're breaking new news tonight about Andrew McCabe. Let's start there and work our way back.
What we know tonight is that FBI Director Christopher Wray went Sunday and reviewed the four-page FISA memo. The very next day, Andrew McCabe was asked to resign. Remember, Sean, he was planning on resigning in March. That already came out in December. This time, they asked him to go right away. You're not coming into the office. I heard reports he didn't even come in for the morning meeting, that he didn't show up.
A source of mine told me tonight that when Wray read this, it shocked him to his core.
Shocked him to his core. And not only that, the Inspector General's report, I have been told tonight by a number of sources.
1.2 million pages already handed over to Congress.
Correct. 1.2 million pages. But there's indicators right now that McCabe may have asked FBI agents to actually change their 302s. Those are the interviews with witnesses. So basically, every time an FBI agent interviews a witness, they have to go back and file
a report. Change it, that would be what? Obstruction of justice and against
exactly.
the law.
Exactly. Obstruction of justice. This is something that the Inspector General is investigating. If that is the case, if this is true, and not just alleged, if this is true, McCabe will be fired. I heard they are considering firing him within the next few days, if this turns out to be true.
Sebastian, as you take all of this in, as you absorb all of this, it's kind of, for some, it's hard to believe. But now the evidence has been mounting and mounting and mounting, and one smoking gun after another. It's incontrovertible at this point.
It is, but it has to be put in the context of the history of our great nation. Remember, why was America created? It was created because of the usurpation of power, the capricious usurpation by a leader thousands of miles away. That's why America was created. It was about tea tax. It was about stationing troops on private property without permission. This is 100 times bigger. This is our government spying on political adversaries. This is federal law enforcement officials obstructing justice. You listed all the things Clinton did and all the things her team did. But let's not forget, the FBI destroyed the laptops that were part of the Clinton investigation. Who gave that order?
Hey, who has an exoneration before an investigation?
Right.
The fix was because they wanted Hillary to remain. All right, Judge, let me go to you. You're great on the law. I know you've been very passionate on your own show on this. Let's break this down.
All right. You know, what we're seeing here, Sean, is what we would expect to see in a third world country, where a political party is using their justice system to not only surveil individuals, but to change the course of a presidential election. This is not just, you know, some case where people are, you know, playing around with statements, trying to get them to change statements. This is about changing the course of American history by using the most powerful weapon that we have in the justice system, the federal anyway, the FBI. I have been saying from the beginning, Sean, this guy McCabe needs to be taken out in cuffs. They should not be paid by the American people. He shouldn't be able to dictate when he's going to leave. And by the way, I have to say one thing. You know, Sean, you just said that Christopher Wray was shocked when he read that four-page memo. You know what? How could he be shocked? He's the head of the FBI. Everything that you and I have seen that we've been talking about for the last year has been something that has been corroborated factually. And now all of a sudden he's shocked? Why are they shocked on the day before the public is going to get to see this information?
Assuming
the president lets it out. They knew about it, and now they're caught with their hands in the cookie jar, and now they have to say, oh, we're going to make McCabe go, and maybe more charges.
The reason that this will be coming out, And I'm glad that the White House told me tonight that they will be deliberative, that they're taking it seriously. They're not rushing out with it. Obviously, the State of the Union tomorrow. I'm hoping we'd see this by Wednesday night or Thursday. But they're doing the right thing, because this is not a game. We are talking about people's lives. We're talking about potential crimes. We're talking about people being charged, going to jail. But more importantly, and the scary part of this, and I'll throw this to Sarah for more information, is that we have now weaponize the powerful tools of intelligence. FISA is important because that means that's our government spying on citizens. And if Hillary's bought and paid for dossier was the foundation to do this, wow.
It was a very shoddy foundation.
To influence a presidential election.
A duly elected president of the United States, voted for by the people of this country. Sean, this is bigger than anything anybody can imagine.
And when you say that this makes Watergate like stealing a Snickers bar from a drugstore.
Absolutely. And think about this. This is why there were so many whistleblowers, Sean. Not even just the whistleblowers that were going to the Inspector General, to the House Intelligence Committee. But think about this. The Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court chided the Obama administration. We broke those stories last year. Remember that?
Of course. We've been chided
the Obama administration for violating the laws.
Yes.
And so, this is where it all started.
Dr. Gorka.
There's a very special reason why America doesn't have an internal security service. We don't have a KGB. We don't even have an MI5. Think about that. A lot of people after 9/11 said, we need to have an internal security service to spy on Americans. And we said, no, it's un-American. What have we just heard? That the Obama administration used the intelligence community for political purposes.
And with a bought and paid for opposition dossier of lies. All right, you get the last word tonight, Judge Jeanine.
You know, one of the things that we have to worry about going forward is, as the evidence is out there, and my hat is off to Sarah Carter, to the Hill, John Solomon, all those guys, but we need a prosecutor in the Justice Department. We need a prosecutor in that Justice Department, not Rod Rosenstein, who right now is in the middle of all this,
Judge,
and in the middle of
Uranium 1. We need a special counsel. We need it yesterday.
In addition to what you just heard, I wonder how many people caught a reference, a sentence by Sean Hannity in that audio segment where he said, in addition to what the White House told me tonight. Did you hear that? Look, it's obvious that we have on our side now, while some might call it the propaganda arm of the White House, you've got information that is being disseminated via Sean Hannity in such a way where it's unadulterated by the bias of the mainstream media. In other words, what I'm saying to you is, this is why, for example, and I reference Peter Barryczaka and all of what we do with respect to getting the truth out there. What Sean Hannity said, in case you missed it, that was just, maybe he didn't intend to say it, but the fact is what the White House told me today. So we can rely pretty much on the legitimacy of the information coming from Sean Hannity. In addition, the content of what you just heard, I just want to point that out because I think it's extremely important. So for people to understand, this is the avenue of what this is the best avenue for the truth from the White House, the direct connection between Sean Hannity and the office of the president. I think it's pretty astounding when you think about it, when you kind of pull back and see exactly what is taking place. So to wrap this all up, you've got war on three fronts. Multiple fronts, but I would say at least three fronts. You've got the deep state, you've got the Congress, and then you've got the war taking place on the streets. And when you combine all of those, what we're seeing with respect to this four-page FISA memo that I have been concentrating so much on over the last number of days is the exposure of the other side, the participants of this war. This is exposing the deep state to its core. Expect blowback from this. As I said on Monday, and I continue to say, expect blowback from this. And speaking of blowback, I was just informed right before showtime that our ability to live stream on YouTube, our show, has been denied, has been taken away from us. The reason, of course, we dared to live stream the State of the Union. So we're working through this. I just want our listeners to know that we are working through this. Please check with HagmanReport.com. That doesn't mean we are going off the air. That means that it's so important now to tune into Blog Talk Radio, always in our corner, BTR, to tune into Global Star Radio Network, always in our corner, and watch as the systematic censorship of the truth is just as it rages. We're dealing with this now to the best of our ability, but I just thought I'd throw that out there at the end of the program. We are being denied access to live stream our show. It was coming. I told you this was coming. The war is on. Folks, if you like what you heard today, if you like the Doug Hagmann Radio Show, please spread it around. Tell your friends about the Doug Hagmann Radio Show. Because we don't know how long we have. We don't know how long we were able to broadcast. Get the truth out there. Get it out today. May God bless you, and may God bless the United States.
The Doug Hagmann Radio Show is brought to you by The Hagmann Report. Tune in to The Hagmann Report weekdays, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. For more information, go to HagmannReport.com. That's HagmannReport.com.